Hey everybody, it's Pastor Brian Ross from Grace Life Bible Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. We want to welcome you to this midweek video. We appreciate you tuning in as always. If you haven't already done so, if you would consider subscribing and ringing the alarm bell as a way of staying current with the ministry when we go live from our assembly building on Sunday mornings, as well as when we create content for you here midweek, we would certainly appreciate that. Also want to remind you about our Rumble channel here, Grace Life Bible Church on Rumble. We established this as an alt-text site. Should something happen to our YouTube ministry, so if you're in the alt-text sites or would just like an alternative to YouTube, please check us out here on Rumble as well. My featured book this week is my book, The King James Bible in America, an Orthographic, Historical, and Textual Investigation. This book covers some things regarding the printed history of the text in the United States, some pairs of words that are often debated and discussed by King James advocates, and looks into the lay of the land as far as the King James Bible being printed in the United States after independence was secured, as well as before that. So what I want to cover in this video is I was sent and made aware of two messages that were recently preached or live streamed. One of them is from the last day of 2023, December 31, 2023. I never knew this about the King James Bible. And the more recent one was from this past Sunday, January 14, 2024. What I know now about the King James Bible. Both of these messages were done by a former Mid-Acts Pauline dispensationalist who has now taken up for universalism and has renounced his former Mid-Acts dispensational stance and has been, over the last number of years, really sort of pushing this on his YouTube channel, his Facebook. This particular teacher has blocked me on Facebook and does not allow comments on his videos, etc. And so I watched these, and there was enough here that I felt like I wanted to just say something. Now, I responded to this topic back in 2022. I delivered a message at the Grace School of Bible Soldiers Training for Service meeting titled Why Universal Reconciliation is a Dangerous Heresy, and I did that on April 23, 2022, and then I followed that up with this message from my office, Why Reconciliation is a Dangerous Heresy, Grace School of Bible follow-up conference. And one of the points that I made, both in my conference message and in my follow-up, was that if the universalist position was going to be maintained, the main advocate would no longer be able to maintain a stance for the King James Bible. Now, of course, at the time, 2 years ago, this was vehemently denied, and I was accused of misrepresenting things, et cetera, et cetera. Well, now, you know, nearly 2 years later, the cat is sort of being let out of the bag in a very public way. Those of us who have followed this descent into universalism, we have long maintained that this would come eventually, where this teacher would no longer be able to retain a position or a stand for the King James Bible because the universalist position would not allow it. All right. And now this is now being played out publicly on the recorded messages on this individual's YouTube channel. Okay. Now, what I have done is I have just gone to YouTube and I have copy and pasted the raw transcripts of the parts of this message from January 14 that I want to talk about in this video. Okay. So all I've done is this is the raw YouTube transcript, just copied and pasted into here, with a couple timestamps for reference so that you could go back and check it out for yourself. So any punctuation, anything that doesn't quite look quite right or whatever is the fault of the YouTube transcriber, not me. All I did was copy and paste. Okay. So I want to talk about this, and let's start at the 15:07 mark in the video from January 14. Now listen carefully to what was said here, and the discussion is about the Greek word eon, and what does this mean, and how can it be translated into English, okay? Notice, eon, that's the Greek word where we get our English word for aeon or aeonian, okay? So this is the, again, the YouTube transcriber doing this, okay? An eon is an age, and an age is a limited period of time. So there's a definitive statement being made here that an eon is an age, and an age is a limited period of time. If you're honest, it's a limited period of time. At no time in the English language does it ever mean endless duration. So an age at no time in the English language ever means endless duration. So notice what's going on here, okay? If we're talking, are we talking about the Greek word eon or are we talking about the English word age? If you're talking about an age, then an age would seem to have some sort of time constraint to it, okay? But the statement is going to be made here that the Greek word eon can only refer to an age or to a limited period of time. It has one meaning and one meaning only. That is it. And here's the question. Why would that be different in any other language in the world, including Greek? So the observation has been made that the word eon can mean an age, a limited period of time, or it could mean an eternity, an endless duration, depending on the context in which the word is used. Okay. But listen, I've heard them with my own ears saying sometimes eon is a limited period of time and sometimes it's endless. So that's what I just said. You cannot take one Greek word and attach two meanings to it that are diametrically opposed to each other. Now, where is that idea coming from? What Greek grammar, what rule of language, what rule of interpretation says that a word can't mean something different other than this particular teacher's word for it? Okay. So there's no evidence that is furnished here to prove that that's a true statement. It's just made and the audience is supposed to take the speaker's word for it. There's no evidence given. It is an unsubstantiated claim. You can't do that. It has to be one or the other. So it's either all one or all the other. Okay. Now you're reading that yourself. I'm not making that up. That was what was said. Because this particular teacher has a habit of claiming to have been misrepresented when people are reading direct quotes from his transcripts. It's a terrible problem, as well as misrepresenting the dictionary, which I'll get to later. And the excuse they give for double meanings of one word is that the context determines the meaning. So that's an excuse. That's an excuse for how a word can mean one thing in one context and another thing in another context. Okay. You got to be kidding me. Were the King James translators supposed to interpret the word of God for everyone else? So notice the allegation now. The allegation is that the King James translators are not simply translating, they're interpreting. Okay? They're not trying to render, the donor language into the receptor language. They're interpreting, and you'll see in a minute they're doing it through their particular Anglican bias. Okay? Is that what they're supposed to do, especially since their interpretations were based on their Church of England and Puritan influence mindset to make it say what they thought it meant? So notice now that he's going after the translators, and he's saying the translators didn't know what they were doing, they don't know how to translate, and they are partisan, and they are translating exclusively from a Church of England Puritan bent or influence. Okay, that's what's being said here. So they're not honest. You can't trust them because of they're too infatuated with their Church of England Puritan influence, okay? Which is an interesting statement in and of itself, because obviously the Puritans were not necessarily on board with everything the Church of England was doing, but I'm not going to get into all that. Is that what they were supposed to do? No, folks, they were not supposed to do that, but that's exactly what they did. So how can you really know what the Bible is saying when they give one word two diametrically opposed meanings? So notice the level of maximum doubt that is being created here. You cannot trust the King James translators, but you can trust what this teacher is telling you. This teacher is telling you the truth, and the 47 odd men that were involved in this, they were partisan, and they were the ones that were, you know, too influenced by the Church of England's teachings to be able to discern that the Greek word eon could mean an eternal duration, or it could mean a limited period of time, depending on the context that it's used in. And this has been explicitly poo-pooed here in this extract from the transcript. No, folks, they were not supposed to do that, but that's exactly what they did. So how can you really know what the Bible is saying when they give you one word with two diametrically opposed meanings? you know, sometimes it means this and sometimes it means that. So now you can just give it any meaning you want. So that's the supposition that is being made here, okay? That the word eon, translated age, is always, only, and ever a duration of time with a beginning and an end. It cannot ever mean anything that is endless, that is eternal, or of eternal duration. It can only mean one thing. And the translators of the King James Bible, they were, you know, just too enamored with their Church of England situation to be able to accurately translate the Bible. That's what the teacher of this is suggesting. Okay. Now, he is going to get into an example here in Matthew 24. And this is really what caught my attention as I listened to this presentation. All right. So let's go look at Matthew chapter 24 just quickly here. And that's right here. Matthew chapter 24. Okay. Verse 3, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Okay, so the objection here that is going to come is that this should not say world, this should say age. Okay, and the reason that should say age is because if you turn the interlinear on and you look and we scroll down here, we'll find. Notice a couple things here, okay? Notice there's a word specifically for end of the world, and you see aeon or eon. So an aeon or an eon can only be an age according to the reasoning that we just heard from quoting the transcript, okay? So the speaker is going to find an issue with the translation there of the word world, saying that that is a mistranslation because everyone knows that eon only means age. So let's actually look at that being said. Okay, so now we're skipping ahead in the transcript to the 28:17 mark. But in Matthew chapter 24, verse 3, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? That word world is the Greek word eon or age, and an age and an eon have a beginning and they have an end. This should read end of the age. So he's saying world's a mistake, okay? It should be age, end of the age. Notice this should read, tell us when shall these things be, and when shall be the sign of the coming and of the end of the age, not the end of the world. Not the end of the world. Let me show you Young's literal translation. And when he is sitting on the Mount of Olives, is the disciples came near to him himself, saying, tell us when shall these things be, and when shall these things be, and what is the sign of thy presence, because when he returns. There are other places in the Bible that refer to it as the presence of the Lord and of the full end of the age. The full end of the age. Well, that's the proper word. That's the word eon. And eon is an age, okay? So not all translations in the English are perverted and distorted like is commonly presented, as I used to say when I was King James only fanatic. But the word world in verse, the word world in this verse in Matthew 24:3 gives you the impression that this is talking about the end of the world and not the end of an age. His coming, the second coming of Jesus, ends an age. So when he returns, it ends an age and is the beginning of the new age and begins a new age called the reign of Christ for 1,000 years. So it's not the end of the world. If it's the end of an age and the beginning of a new age, do you realize how many preachers' false understanding of prophecy is based on this verse and not understanding that this is not the end of the world? You realize that's why prophecy in Christendom is so screwed up and it is so discombobulated. You have so many different views of prophecy. Okay, so you see right there. So the supposition that was just said is that this is a mistake. Okay? That this should be end of the world. I'm sorry, the end of the world is a mistake, and it should say end of the age. All right? it's explicitly said that this is a mistake, that the translators didn't get this right because it should say age. All right. Now, this is where I get frustrated, because that explanation shows a complete lack of study and research on the part of the person saying that. Okay. Now we're going to jump over here into the Oxford English Dictionary. Now notice I have the world form, the noun form of world called up here in the OED. All right. Now I have already done this, so I know where to find it. I went in here and I went Control F and I searched for age and I found definition 1.5. Notice definition 1.5, an age. So there's a meaning of the word world that means age. So this speaker does not know what he's talking about. He's criticizing the King James translators. Meanwhile, it never even occurs to him that there could be a meaning of the word world that he's not familiar with. And so he's saying all this stuff about the King James Bible and their pure and, you know, their Church of England bias and all these sorts of things. Meanwhile, notice world 5.1a, an age or an extended period of time in human or earthly existence or history, in plural, ages. And notice that it is now obsolete. And notice the word usage examples of this go all the way back, way predating the King James Bible. And so is there a meaning of the word world that correlates to the meaning and understanding of the word age? Yes. So, but this is never discussed. All that is said is that the translators messed this up and they've messed up everyone's view of prophecy. And this is the reason why nobody can understand everything, because these dumb Church of England translators couldn't get it right and they don't understand what an age is or what an eon is. That, look, I read you the transcript and I know I'm speaking a little bit harsh here, but this kind of stuff, like, I'm calling this out because this kind of stuff continues and people listen to this stuff and they don't critically process what is being said. We could go to the Middle English Dictionary, okay? And we could look at the word world in the Middle English Dictionary, the noun form. And again, I've already searched this for the word age, so I already know that definition number 6. Look at, as defined, extended period of human history or earthly existence and age. Okay, a generation, also a span of time for creation to a different latter point. Okay, and that it gives all this information about usages. There's 52 examples here of word usages from this, and notice that some of them are from the Wycliffe Bible from 1382. So there is a meaning and usage of the word world that correlates to the word age that is now obsolete or no longer in use. Okay, it's just a fact. But none of that is ever discussed, and all that is said in this video from January 14 is that these guys don't know what they're talking about because of their Church of England bias. Okay, now this is a screenshot of what I'm talking about from later in the video. Notice an aeon is an eon, a limited period of time, and notice right here, tell us when shall these things be, and which shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the age, not world. That's a clear statement that world is wrong, age is right, but yet there's no understanding that the word world could ever mean an age. This is sloppy work, very sloppy work, and people are listening to this, and they are not questioning what they are hearing, and that's a problem. That is a big problem, because this person is not putting forth accurate information. They're not. Okay. Then notice something else here. If we go back later, we see this screenshot. Okay. So notice here's Matthew 24 and here's world. You notice this is aeon. And then this is compared to Matthew 25:46. These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into everlasting life. Now the word that is translated here, everlasting, is aeon. So this is the example that is being used to demonstrate what was claimed up here between the 15 minute and roughly, let's say, 18 minute mark, that these words could only mean one thing. It cannot mean a temporal duration and age and an everlasting, endless duration at the same time. Yet the King James translators seek to render this. So let's look at that verse. Here's Matthew 25:46. And if we go into the tools here, so look at, here's everlasting, aeonious. And if we come down to the second, eternal, aeonious. So let's click on that and see what we can find. Notice, okay, this is related to eon. Without beginning and end. So outline of biblical usage. Without beginning and end, that which always has been and always will be, without beginning, without end, never to cease, everlasting. Okay? So first of all, this is a slightly different word than the one that is back here in Matthew chapter 24. Let's look at Matthew chapter 24 again. Let's go down to world, and we can see eon. Come on. Right here. And we can see this is a slightly different Greek word. And notice the outline. Forever, an unbroken age, perpetually of time, eternity, the world's universe, interesting, we just talked about that, period of time, age. So the outline of biblical usage here by the grammarians, which, by the way, there was never any evidence cited, you just had to take the person's word, the speaker's word for it, are clearly saying that this word can mean various things depending on the context in which they're used, okay? But notice that what this particular speaker, and this has to be done to avoid the doctrine of everlasting punishment. You have to take, every time the translator said everlasting, because they say everlasting punishment, and you have to say, well, that doesn't mean everlasting. It means a temporal duration. Okay? Because if you allow it to stand the way it is in the text of the King James Bible, now you have a problem for your universalism. So you have to say, and you have to come ultimately, if you're going to maintain universalism, to the position that the King James Bible is, not reliable, not trustworthy. They had an Anglican bias. They got all the stuff wrong because of their, translational biases. And they were interpreting the Bible, not just merely translating the Bible. But the evidence suggests that the word eon can mean both things. And notice also that this is not even technically right because, let me just prove it to you, the word here in Matthew 24 is eon right there, and the word over here in Matthew 25 is a different word, aeonious, related but a different word. So they're not even the same as it is suggested here. Now, by the way, the word that is in Matthew 26, notice that if you look at it, it doesn't even have the shade of meaning difference, without beginning or end, okay? That which always was and always will be, without beginning, without end, never to cease, everlasting. Though that's what this word means. So when the King James translators rendered this everlasting punishment and life eternal, did they know what they're talking about? Well, they can't know what they're talking about if you're going to embrace universalism. So that means you're going to have to rely on the teacher, the guru, to tell you the information that you're supposed to believe. Okay, so there's this particular teacher has this idea that he's left all boxes and he's broken free from all tradition. It's absurd. It's absurd on his face because he's just creating a new box. And by the way, he's entered a box that's been populated by other people before him. So there's a lot of stuff. Now, to me, that's not even sort of the worst part of this, okay? So we've looked at the dictionary. We've seen that the claim about the word world isn't true. The OED bears this out. The Middle English Dictionary bears this out, okay? But if we come to, I did a search here, and I looked for examples where you had eternal and God in the same, where God is literally called the eternal God, all right? Now, we're going to just keep this right now about the New Testament and the word eon, because that's what primarily we were looking at. But look at this verse right here. 1 Timothy 1:17. Now, to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. Now, who do you think Paul's talking about there? Okay? I believe he's talking about God the Father. Notice he's the King, the eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. could be referring to the could be referring to the sun, but notice if you turn the tools on, so they render this eternal, all right? So, but we were told, let's turn the tools on here, okay? And notice eternal. Let me zoom in so you won't miss it. Eon. So, what did we see over here? We saw it can't be, it has to be one way or the other. It can't be both. Now you see the extreme problem that causes, because now is God the eternal God, or is he an Aeonian age God? Is he the eternal God? Because if eon only means of temporal duration and it only means age, then you're going to have to fix this verse here, and you're going to have to say then that when this is applied to God, the only wise God, that God also is not an eternal God. Now, I brought this up in 2022. This was never answered. This was never dealt with, and I'm bringing it up again here now. Because this is games, man. This is fooling around. This is games. This is terrible hermeneutics, dirty dealings with the dictionary. This is absolutely absurd what is going on here, and people are just swallowing this down and not critically thinking, because they're being only shown and told what supports the new box, the new paradigm. Let's look at another example, okay? I also ran a search for verses that have everlasting and God in them, okay? So there's a couple in the Old Testament where in Genesis 21, there's one in Isaiah 40, but let's look at the one here in Romans 16, 26. Notice, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. What do you suppose the word everlasting is here? Let's check it out. Let's check it out. Everlasting. The everlasting God, Aeonius. So if it, and let's apply now the reasoning of the speaker in the January 14 video. That means God's an age God, because an eon, something that's eonic or aeonious or what have you, that's a temporary duration. So when you now take that concept and you apply that to God, what is he now saying about God? And is he going to go and follow his false dichotomy that the word can only mean one thing or the other? And is he going to now be willing to go apply it to God himself like he has to do if he's going to remain consistent? Now, yeah, I'm putting it on the table. I'm putting it on the table. Because if he's going to be consistent, he's going to have to apply the false dichotomy that he's created across the board consistently. And the only conclusion you can come to is that God is not an eternal God. That the King James translators didn't know what they were talking about when they called him the everlasting God in 1 Timothy 1. They didn't know what they were talking about when they called him the everlasting God in Romans chapter 16. That these, you know, they're just fumbling around because of their Anglican church bias. And that's all coming from somebody who never knew that the word world could mean an age and is mangling the information to his advantage. Now, I'm going to go here and I'm going to say this. This same thing happened when this same person interacted with my featured book in this video, The King James Bible in America. There were dirty dealings with the dictionary. Only the part of the dictionary that supported what the speaker wanted to say was showed. The rest of it was not showed. He's been called out for this, and the result was that he blocked me. My concern here is mostly for the greater body of Christ, that somebody that's listening to this will get a hold of this and make him answer these things. I fully expect, here's what's going to happen. So he's going to get wind of this video. He's going to come on and he's going to misrepresent everything I said in this video. He needs to answer the issue of world. He needs to answer the false dichotomy. He needs to explain how God can be an everlasting God? And is he willing to say, based upon the dichotomy that he has created and applied consistently across the board, that God is not an eternal God, that he's just an age God? This is what you need to look out for. So you need to avail yourself of some of these other things that have been created here. I'm going to leave a link in the description to Why Universal Reconciliation is a Dangerous Heresy. I'll leave a link in the description to the follow-up here, and I'm going to leave a link in the description to the playlist here on the King James Bible in America. There are major hermeneutical problems of a basic nature here, even just with unsubstantiated claims, things that are being said that no evidence is offered for. So I know this video has maybe had a little bit more of a sort of, I'm a little more amped up maybe, but this kind of thing, people got to be warned about this. They got to be warned about this. And if there's people out there that are listening to this teaching, they need something. Please share with them something that will cause them to possibly stop and think about what is going on. Because this was predicted. This departure from the King James was predicted a long time ago. Because one cannot maintain, and let me just say, you could argue that this is really not even a King James issue, because even modern versions understand the difference between an age and an age of limited duration and a everlasting time of endless duration. Is God an everlasting eternal God, or isn't he? And we haven't even dealt with in this video the issues that come up with the Hebrew word olam. When you apply the same reasoning that I've discussed, like you would see here in Genesis 21:33, but I promised I would keep this video just about the New Testament. So look, folks, God loves you and Christ died for your sin. Christ died for your sin so that he could give you eternal life, not Ionian life, not age life, eternal life. Life with him, life with an everlasting God. He shed his blood on the cross. He satisfied the offended justice of God against sin. He paid the price. He made the propitiation. He was the substitutionary atonement. He was buried and he rose again after 3 days and 3 nights. And he's offering you and I eternal life as a free gift. Trust Jesus Christ today in his death, his burial, and his resurrection as the only total complete payment for sin. Trust Jesus Christ today before it's everlasting too late. Thanks for your attention, and we'll see you next time.